looking on the banner back here to find my scripture text, but it's not up there, is it? Doesn't tell us where that's found. We had the date up here last Sunday. It was the 28th anniversary of the Bible Conference 2004. Somebody noticed that, and Brother Jeff got that changed, but I was looking. So I think this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, isn't it? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I just recognized something. We got two preachers. Almost every service means I get to preach as long as two put together. All right? Two and two. Every night. It gets quiet when I start to preach. Nobody say amen when I start to preach. I'm just excited about preaching today as I was 28 years ago when I preached my first sermon. Just as excited. Just as excited to be here in our church today and to have you here. And just a little personal note, you know, we had, this Pat and I had the four children, and they were all with us 28 years ago today, and they're all with us today. Thank the Lord that Brother Steve, my son, been driving and way up in Minnesota somewhere, and all hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks, and the Lord's taking care of him. Got him in last night about 12 o'clock or so, and the Lord took care of Donald driving this week, and also took care of Roger Dodger here, and so we're just glad our truck driver in this weekend and for the revival meeting. Now, I'm going to be preaching on this subject today, and of course, we're talking about the Lord Jesus here, but I'd like for everybody to just look at this sign up here a minute and think of that as you. When it says I, think of that's you. I will build my church. Now, if you're a member of Beth Haven Church, this is your church. This is your church. I, personally, for you, you say, you know, in your heart, I will build my church. Now, one of the things that will help build the church during this week is for you to be here for the preaching and the fellowship and the uplifting of the Lord, provoking one another to love and doing good things. Just in the onset of this message, let me just share this with you, that we have a greater potential today than we did 28 years ago. 28 years ago, it was me and Miss Pat, my kids, and a bunch of other teenage kids. We had a couple of adults visiting with us. In fact, our fifth child, as y'all know, is Deborah. She was with us. Miss Pat's mom and dad. Was mom with us? My dad already went to heaven. He went to heaven back in February, and we started church in December, so my dad's never heard me preach. Aunt Vera's there. We have 42. At 42. But our church has greater potential today than it did then. We have a lot of things now that we've had to work towards building and getting things prepared, although we've had the buildings now for almost all these years, but still doing a lot of building of them and everything. But if you'll take this personally, I will build my church. I will build my church. But let's read the words of the Lord now. And this... Where do we say that was at? Matthew 15, 16? 16, 15. Yeah, all right. I've got Mark 16, 15, 15, 16 also in there, okay, on the thoughts here. Okay. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Another word about our potential before the actual points that I want to give today. We took that little group that met December 7th, 1975, and in 2 years' time, it was proven by a church census in the city of Gunnersville by a dear friend of mine who had a brother who was a deacon in the First Baptist Church in Gunnersville. It did a religious survey of the whole city of Gunnersville the year after we left Gunnersville. And they reported to me that the Beth Haven Church in Gunnersville, Alabama, did more in those 2 years than the whole city of Gunnersville churches combined. That was a report that came through the census. Now, if we could do that with just a couple of families, what could we do here? Now, for sure, Gunnersville was a city. We're out in the country, but we're not in the country very much anymore. We're almost in a city with all the folks around here. So I just want you to think about that. Now, I will build my church. I know that you all perhaps watch a little bit of news, and I watch a whole lot of news. As a matter of fact, that's about the only thing on TV that's worth watching, and it's, as Adam said, most time it's all bad, but every once in a while there's a few good things. But a good newspaper reporter always asks questions. And have you noticed that they can ask some of those stupid questions? They get the answer, and they turn right around and ask that question again. Well, I want to be a newspaper reporter in a sense this morning. I want to ask some questions about this statement, I will build my church. And the questions are what, who, when, where, why, and how. What, who, when, where, why, and how. All them begin with W's except the H, and I thought about, instead of how, what about wow? When you get that point, it almost fit that. I will build my church. We're talking about, of course, the Lord Jesus and his words to Simon Peter and the disciples. I will build my church. First question I want to ask is, what is a church? What is a church? A couple of things that a church is not. The church is not a fellowship. The fellowship is involved in the church, but the church is not a fellowship. Therefore, we will never be called a Beth Haven Fellowship. We'll be called a Beth Haven Baptist Church. The church is not a continuation of the nation of Israel. It's a distinct body, different from the nation of Israel. The church is a group of baptized believers, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, banded together for the propagation of the gospel. You know what that word means? It means spreading of the gospel. And, of course, to assemble together, have a place to assemble, and then there to have worship, and the Bible teaches fellowship, praise, and so on. So the church is an institution ordained by the Lord Jesus himself when he said, I will build my church. That's the purpose of the church, to meet together, have fellowship, worship, praise, and to spread the gospel. The church is a body. It is not compared to a body. The church is a body. We don't compare it and say, well, the church is like a body. The Bible said in Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Would you just let this soak in for a second? You are the body of Christ. Think about that. You are the body of Christ. Just like we have a body to live in, you are the body of Christ for the Holy Spirit to live in. Also, Ephesians 1:23 says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12 says. So we see that the church is the body of Christ. And we do not want to forget that the body must have a head in order to function. The head of the church is Christ. The book of Colossians is very good about this. Let's go to Colossians. I want you to turn to some of these now. I'll just give some of them, but I want you to turn to some of them. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Colossians 2, verse 19. And not holding the head, and if you'll notice that word is capitalized, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with increase of God. So the church is a body, and our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all things, he's to have the preeminence. He gives the direction. Without the head, the body doesn't do anything. Remember when John the Baptist had been beheaded, the Bible said the disciples went and picked up the corpse. It was dead. So without the head, the body is dead. And from the head, we get all directions to the rest of the body. So the church is a body. The church is a building. The church is a building. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. And now, if you're pretty close to, if you're in Colossians, go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 21, Ephesians 2:21, the church is a building in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. The church is a body. The church is a building. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism, meaning it's alive because we have as our head the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church is a body, the church is a building, and the church is a bride. The church is the bride of Christ. We have scripture to back this up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 15. Matthew 9, verse number 15. The body is the bride of Christ. Matthew 9:15. And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So the church is the bride of Christ. You know the story of the virgins in chapter 25 of Matthew. The Bible said the 10 virgins, and while they slept, the bridegroom cometh. So we are the bride of Christ. And there are a lot of other verses. Go into Revelation 21 and 2 and verse 9, but the clock is moving very fast, and we're just on the question of what. Let's go to who. Who will build the church? Who will build the church? Who is this builder? Let's talk about the I in the scripture. Who is the I? It wasn't John the Baptist. It wasn't Jeremiah. It wasn't one of the prophets. It's not those people that was mentioned in the verses just before this in Matthew chapter 16. It was the Lord Jesus himself said that he would build the church. Now, he's going to build a church now through you and I. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors. We are the ones now who are building the church through the power of the Lord Jesus. We'll mention in just a little bit. But the church is being built by people, ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. You know, there are folks who say, well, you know, if I had Jesus himself here and he were to come to my door, knock on my door and tell me I need to get saved, I'd get saved. You wouldn't get saved if you didn't hear it from me or Brother Russell or Brother Jeff or anybody else. Jesus told us this in the story of the rich man in hell. The rich man in hell said, "Why, if somebody rose from the dead, if Lazarus rose from the dead, went back to my brothers, they would believe him." Jesus said, "No, they wouldn't." Listen. You are an ambassador of Christ. It's your responsibility, my responsibility, to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say I, that does mean us. He builds it through us. He builds it through us. Though one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe. Where will I build my church? Where is the Lord going to build the church? Is he going to build it in Jerusalem only? Or is he going to go worldwide? This is going to be a worldwide ministry. I read in a newspaper about our lady pastor, so-called, in Albertville, who's now going worldwide with her ministry. The Lord told the women to kind of be quiet in church, didn't he? Not to be preaching in church. Where will I build my church? We do go worldwide. We go worldwide with our missionaries, Mexico, Peru, Albania. We're going worldwide with our mission work here in this little local church. But the Bible said that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everywhere. To the black, the white, the yellow, the African American, whatever, you know. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. So it's to be preached anywhere. Where can the church be built? It can be built in Louisville, Kentucky. It can be built in Kilpatrick, Alabama. A church can be built in Albania. A church can be built in Peru. A church can be built in China. A church can be built in Moscow. Churches can be built anywhere. And they can be built and was built under the communist control of nations, whose churches came in and were built secretly. the church is to be built anywhere somebody will meet in Christ's name. I pray for Ed Keithley and Ben Andrews every day, missionaries to the cannibals. If I'm not mistaken, that's Papua New Guinea. A church can be built among the headhunters. Where? Anywhere that God sends a person, a church can be built there. It can be done. It takes work. By the way, this question of how's the church doing? The answer to that is always the church is doing fine. The work may be difficult, but the church is doing fine. Our church is doing fine. Our church has done well, and the Lord's church will do well, and you don't judge it by the number in attendance every time. But the church is doing well. We need to pay attention to that. I had the question asked me just last week at the ball game over at Bethel. The guy who was keeping the score, the clock, is a good friend. I pray for him every day. And he has two brothers who are missionaries in Germany, and he and his other brother are full-time in the Bethel church. And so he said, how is the church going? I said, yes, the right question. Church is doing fine, but the work's difficult. It's not easy to start a church anywhere. The past 28 years hasn't been easy. There has been a lot of work put into this ministry in the last 28 years. But a church has been built. And then Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where? Anywhere. Anywhere. When shall I build my church? When is it time to build a church? Well, we know in Jesus' statement here, he was speaking especially to those disciples that were going to be taking up the ministry when he went back to heaven. And we know that the church then was in Jerusalem. And I'm thinking, when did the church actually start? So I was real prepared to say, you know, the church starts on the day of Pentecost, and I do believe that. I know they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And somebody said to me, well, you know, Dr. John R. Rice says the church was in the Old Testament. And I just was about ready to rule that out. And then, lo and behold, I read a verse that said where there was a church in the wilderness. And I'm just wondering, you know, I'll just throw that in and let you think about that for a little while. But we're talking about here now, when is this church going to be built? Well, it was in Jerusalem. And when we talk about building a church, we're talking about, you know, it takes saved people to be in a church. You got a church that doesn't have saved people, and you don't have a biblical church. You have an assembly. We're talking about people who are born again, who are saved, to build and to be in a church. So when can you build a church? When people get saved. When people get saved. Psalm 32:6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. The church can be built when anybody will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is building the church. Now, there are those who talk about the invisible church. I've never really seen the invisible church, have you? I mean, if it's invisible, you can't see it. So I believe in a literal church. I believe in a Beth Haven church in Kilpatrick. I believe in a Beth Haven church in Louisville. And Brother Jeff, did you not hear of another Beth Haven that there was a Brother Mims, pastor of a church? I pray for one every day, so he told me there was another Beth Haven. Did you know that? And there's another Beth Haven and a Brother Mims, a pastor, and it's not our church. Now, Brother Jeff told me that. I don't know if he told me that to get him to pray for him or not, but that's what he said. All right? When people will be saved, a church can be there. You become part of the church, but you become part of the church when you join that church. It's not the invisible church. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says this. He said he was talking to God, and we're talking about the church being invisible. This big plane went over, and this guy said he was afraid of plane flight like me, and he said, I sure would hate to be up there in that airplane. Dr. McGee said, I'd hate to be up there without it. So I just don't want to be in a church I can't see. I want to be in one I can stand on the ground and be in that church and have the fellowship with. So a church can be built when people are being saved. Hebrews 3:7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, if you will hear his voice, that's the key, if you will hear his voice. If you're not saved, if you'll hear his voice, you can be saved even today. Now, I've got several verses of Scripture that we can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 and on following, but we're just going to read that once. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. 2 Corinthians And you've got near as much time to find as I have. Remember, I'm breaking in a new Bible, and it takes a while to get the pages unstuck. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the time. When? Now. You're not saved? When is the time for you to get saved? Today. You're not a member of the Bethlehem Church? When is the time for you to be a member? Today. When? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't put off salvation. Don't put off joining the church. Don't put off baptism. We don't have any water to baptism here, but the ice could be broke. Brother Jeff, be glad to baptize you today. Okay. All right. Now is accepted time. When? Now. How will I build my church? Here's why I said it might use wow. Well, how can I be part of the church? One of the greatest things that ever happened to anybody, because when you get saved, you become part of the Lord's church we're talking about here and be identified with the local church. How will I build my church? Zechariah 4 and 6. And this is one of the messages that Dr. Malone preached when the Lord called me into ministry. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How do you become a Christian? Not by your power. How do you become a missionary? Not by your power. How do you become an evangelist? Not by your power. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you can be witnesses. And he tells us where and so on there, but that's not the point. Now it's how. How? Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness. Acts 20:20. And have taught you and publicly from house to house. How? House to house. Individual to individual. Co-worker with co-worker. Mother with daughters, mother with sons, and husband with wife, although it would be a very bad circumstance if a husband is married to a wife and she's not saved, and if she's married to a husband, he's not saved. He made a mistake to start with. Should never marry, should never date young people. You better keep this in mind. Never date anybody that's not saved. And if you're a Baptist, I'd make pretty well sure that they were Baptists I was dating even. Okay? Found this path to be a Baptist. And so I started dating her, although I didn't date her because she was a Baptist at that point. Okay, there was other things that I thought about. How will I build my church? Wow. You could have a part in it. That's where I'm saying, wow, I could have a part in it. Wow, I could be part of the Bethlehem Church. Wow, I could be part of the ministry of building up the Lord's church worldwide. Wow, I could be part of the church by supporting missions. Wow, I could be part of the church. Now, Brother Joe Kenny will want me to use the word wow, but I'm using it, okay? Wow, what a privilege we have to be part of the Lord's church. Wow, what a privilege to be a member of the Bethlehem Church. Wow, what a privilege to have Brother Russell here from the Bethlehem Church in Louisville. Wow, what a privilege we have today to be part of the building of the church that the Lord gave. I will build my church. Wow, I have a part in that. Woo! Wow, what about that? Last thing. Why? Why? Why go to all this work? Why go to all this labor? Why quit farming and sell the equipment, sell the farm, and start building a church and a school? Why? When I was writing these notes down and thinking about this, somebody, I already had it down, somebody's, oh, it was Toby and Miss Pat. They had an unusual phone call yesterday. And I've got to tell this so I can get this point in. Miss Pat, or who called who? You called Toby. Miss Kelly's checked this out. Miss Pat called Toby, and Toby answered Bethlehem Baptist Church. And Miss Pat said something about, are you the preacher there? And he said, yes. What are you going to preach on tomorrow? And he said, John 3:16. And she said, are you going to preach on sin? He said, yes. And she said, I ain't a coming. So So that's where I heard John 3:16. But this is why. For God so loved you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's why we build a church. That's why the Lord builds a church. He doesn't want, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's why we do it. That's why we do it with joy. Listen, if you're serving the Lord and it's a bore, get right with God. In 28 years, and even before that when I was a Christian, it was never a bore or a chore to serve Him. I was just as happy working from 7 o'clock in the morning nowadays to 12 at night as I can possibly be. And it's never, I'll never gripe. Why? Because people are perishing. People are walking in darkness. Do you recognize that the world is in gross darkness as it's never been, it seems like, in my, I could ever, I know in the scripture we could find place, but it is getting terrible. People are living in darkness. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm going to tell you, Brother Russell, and you wouldn't either, I don't think. I think I know you well enough. You wouldn't give your Son for the sins of the world. I wouldn't give my Son for the sins of the world. But God loved you enough to give his Son for your salvation. Not willing that any should perish. And in Colossians 1:13, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the light of his dear Son. We've come from darkness to light. That's why we build a church. To get people out of darkness. So I've witnessed some folks, and one man I remember in particular, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, you know, I'd get saved if I didn't have to quit doing something I'm doing. Listen, when you get saved, you delight in the Spirit to quit that. In the flesh, you don't. But in the Spirit, you do. The flesh ain't dead yet. We're to reckon it dead, but I reckon that's a pretty hard thing to do. We're not dead yet. Paul said, I die daily, but he wasn't talking about being buried. He's talking about, I don't yield myself to the flesh, but I don't die every day like that. But the world doesn't understand that. And they think, boy, you know, if I got saved, I wouldn't enjoy going to church. Well, no, you wouldn't enjoy going to church if you're not saved. How can a person enjoy coming to church if the Holy Spirit convicts them every time they come? You see, we need to consider those things, that people are in darkness. But he's translated us into the light of his Son. And then, of course, that, we're talking about perish. That means that there's a hell. Let's don't forget that. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There is a hell. Luke 16:23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. I looked at this word, I looked at it real closely. Now, my Bible said being in torments, plural. Not just a torment, torments. And he saw Lazarus far off, and Abraham was far off. The Lord said, there's a great gulf fixed between. You can't ever get out of there. That's why we build a church. That's why we labor. That's why Brother Russell's been in the ministry all these years. Why I've been in the ministry. Why you're involved in church. People are going to hell. They're not saved. I kind of like my granddaddy's terminology. He used the word torments. You don't want to go to torments. Don't want to go to torments. Oh, my old brother is a brother now. He's in heaven now. Preached his funeral. Went by us on the bus route in Gunnersville, and for years, I'd bring his kids and grandkids to church, and I'd go by on Saturday. He'd be sitting out on the front porch in an old rocking chair with overalls on, big dipping stuff, and he'd ask me for a little money every once in a while. Preacher, got a little money? Well, I knew, you know, probably buy snuff or something like that, because I never did give him any. Well, he wouldn't come to church, but he let his kid and his grandkids come to church. And one day, I got a phone call. And it was one of his older daughters. She said, "Brother Marr, would you come down and talk to Granddaddy? He wants you to come. He says he don't want to go to torment. He don't want to go to torment." Well, I went down to see him and led him to the Lord. On Saturday, next morning, I got up and got ready to go. Got her to go pick up my folks on the bus. Got out of his house. He didn't send the grandkids out this time. He's pushing them out. And he's got his little wife who couldn't hear. She was deaf. And he got her by the arm, and he's dragging her out, and they get on the bus. He didn't sit behind in the way back. He sat right behind me. All the way up on the bus, he's talking about, "Preacher, boy, I'm just glad you came by. I don't have to go to torment. I don't have to go to torment. I don't have to go to torment." On the way home, I felt him tapping on my shoulder and reaching his hand around me, and I reached back, and he put 50 cents in my hand instead of me putting 50 cents in his. That's why we do it. People are going to torment, and some. What if I hadn't went? What if I said, "Well, I've been buying on you, and you're not, just forget it"? No. People are going to torment. People are going to hell. And the Lord has given you and I the responsibility. We are His ambassadors. That's why we do it. Jude said this, "And others say it with fear." I was thinking about this, and I wish that I could scare you enough for you to get saved. The Bible said Noah moved with fear and built an ark. Now, the Bible does say this, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." But, you know, an unsaved person doesn't look at the goodness of God and say, "Well, I believe I'll get saved. God's been so good to me." No, it's the goodness of God that would allow a person the privilege to be saved. It's the goodness of God that you have the privilege to be saved. So Jude said, "Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire." That's why we do it. Hey, the Bible teaches us that hell is a literal fire. The witch man said, "I'm tormented in this flame." That's why we do it. Romans 11:14, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some." We won't save everybody. Everybody's not going to believe. Everybody in Louisville hadn't come to the Bethlehem Church in Louisville. Although in the early 70s, I think every kid there came on those buses. Everybody hadn't come here. Everybody's not going to come here. We don't have room for them if they wanted to come. But we might say some. We may find another Mr. Turner. We may find another one like you, because a lot of you have been saved from your, you know, from the ministry here. Others have been saved. We might say some. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. Now, if you will take this personally, I will build my church. You might be the one who leads somebody to the Lord. See? Brother Russell heard somebody preach and he got saved. I heard somebody preach and I got saved. Those of you who are saved heard somebody preach, or you wouldn't be saved yourself. How can they hear without a preacher? That's why we do it. Because people are perishing, and we have, see what, yeah, let me just hold this up. You know, this is a key, but I got a little different key here. I know why I put that in my pocket. Now I know what it's for. Maybe you don't, but we have the key. We can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord will use the Holy Spirit to convict people. You don't have to worry about convicting people. The Holy Spirit will do that. You can't convict people, but the Holy Spirit will. That's why we do it. We're the only ones that can do it. We're the only ones that can do it. The Muslim's not going to do it. Why? Did you hear Franklin Graham last night in his interview with Cal Thomas on Fox News? You know, Dr. Falwell got kind of pushed in a corner because he said the Muslims don't serve the same God we do. I think he kind of backed up a little bit, didn't he? I think he did, but Franklin Graham didn't. I watched him particularly last night. He didn't back up. He just said, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he said the reason that the other gods are not gods is because God, our God, had a son. Our God had a son who died for you and me. And unless you believe in that Son, the Bible said, if you don't believe in Him, you'll die in your sins. So you say, well, what about the Muslim? If they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to die in their sins, unsaved. What about the Mormons? What about a person who says he's a Baptist and not a believer? He'll die in his sins. So that's why we do it. What, when, where, why, and how? I will build my church. You as members need to take that responsibility. And maybe I say, should say as senior pastor, and Brother Jeff as pastor, we'd say, we need to build this church for the glory of God, because people are dying on the road to hell. And we are the witness in this area. Let's all stand. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some. Are you part of the church today? Have you trusted Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Say, no more, what would I have to do? Well, the Bible teaches us that if you repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that He died for you, rose again, and you will trust Him, you will be saved. The Holy Spirit will then come to live in your heart and will help you to live the Christian life. If you're not saved, I invite you to come this morning and trust Christ as Savior. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, to see people get saved. If you're not a member of the church, and the Lord speaks your heart, I don't preach you ought to belong to the church of your choice, you ought to belong to the church of God's choice. You belong to the church of God's choice. If this is God's choice for you, then you need to come. If you're saved and haven't been baptized, you have no choice. You're supposed to be baptized. You don't have to pray about it. You're supposed to be baptized. We'll take care of that. Basically, this morning, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure, if you died, if you go to heaven, come and let somebody take the Bible if you need to, or just come and get on your knees and just tell the Lord what you want. If you want to be saved, just tell the Lord, I want you to save me. I believe He died for me and rose again. I'm going to trust you as my Savior. I'm just going to do that. From the heart, that's what it takes. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, speak to our church family. That we personally will take this statement, I will build my church. And then we'll take the statement from you that we have a responsibility to build the church. It's a building. It's the body of Christ. You're our head. Give us direction. But I pray the Holy Spirit will now move the life of every person here. Those are not saved, if that's the case, we'll deal with them. Some are saved, perhaps not members, have been baptized, or maybe even you've dealt with them about joining the church. You give direction. We'll react accordingly now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be here. Bible. You need to come on, Brother Jeff, we need to sing it.